Quite happy now to be joined by R.A. Dickey, all-star pitcher, also a Cy Young Award winner as well, a Gold Glover, and now an author as well. He has written a children's book called Knuckleball Ned, illustrated by Tim Bowers. And R.A., I guess knowing that you were an English lit major at Tennessee, should I not be surprised?
Well, you know, we're all passionate about things. I think that's just one of the things I've always been passionate about is reading and writing. Just a written word in some way to communicate a message to me is a very good platform.
Well, and you think about how it's come around to you being a knuckleballer because with you know, pitching at Tennessee and Team USA and then getting drafted by the Rangers. First off, they find out after the fact that you don't have a UCL, which gets replaced in Tommy John surgery. So I've always been fascinated by that because, you know, and that seems it's too bad. It's sort of de rigueur almost for every pitcher now to get the Tommy John surgery. How is it that you're able to pitch without it? Is it just your muscles are that strong?
Yeah, well, I'm not going to say that they're abnormally strong. I do think that my body has been able to compensate above and below my condition, and my condition being that I have the absence of that ulnar collateral ligament or that Tommy John ligament that other guys are having to have replaced. I was born without that, and my body's just compensated otherwise.
Well, being a fan of the A's, I saw you a lot over the years in the ALS with the Rangers, a long time you were there. And sure. When did the fork ball turn into the hard knuckler, turn into just the flat-out knuckleball?
Well, the truth of it is, I think everybody thought that I was throwing a fork ball. But in reality, what I was throwing was a very hard knuckleball. Back when I had much more arm strength than I do presently, I was able to generate some pretty high speeds with it. But I never threw a conventional fork ball. It was always a very hard knuckleball. And from there, it just... when I started running out of steam as a conventional pitcher, meaning my velocity started dropping year after year, I needed to come up with something that could be a major league weapon and get guys out consistently. And Oral Hershiser, who was my pitching coach at the time, suggested that I go to the knuckleball full time because he had seen that I had a pretty good one anyway. And so that's when I started my journey. It was 2005 with that knuckleball after spending the first 9 years pitching conventionally.
And speaking of R.A. Dickey, by the way, Toronto Blue Jays pitcher, and the funny thing is usually guys come in and they have some success, and then they hang around as long as they can and keep pitching as long as people will pay them, which I don't begrudge them. I would do the same thing. But for you, it really was sort of the, I don't want to say the rise and fall. It's not like you fell. You were still pitching, but you go from the Mariners to the Twins. And then when you get into the National League, was it really just a maturity issue where you think, hey, I've got this actually figured out? Now, why is it that just a couple years ago you became ridiculously dominant?
Well, that's a good question. You know, and I think the I'm the first one to admit that my life as a conventional pitcher when I was drafted in 1996 up until 2000 and, gosh, probably seven, I was very mediocre by my own admission. I mean, I was barely good enough to hang on, and I was always that guy that would bounce up and down. Could be a pretty good AAA pitcher, but when I got to the big leagues, I just didn't have enough stuff. And when I started to really, and I'm not going to say perfect the knuckleball, but when I started to grow with it year after year and throw it more and more, I just became better and better at it. And, you know, but it was very difficult. I mean, it's a hard pitch to throw. That's why I'm the only guy in the major leagues to throw a knuckleball full time. I mean, at one point there were two of us when Tim Wakefield and I were up together. But it's just something that I was able to produce a mechanic that could give you a good knuckleball consistently, and it's just hard to do. And I'm thankful that I figured it out enough to be able to compete at this level.
Well, I think the knuckleball is also interesting, R.A., because it's a pitch that sort of finds you later, because as you mentioned, Wakefield, he was, you know, a first baseman with the Pirates, and it looked like his career might be over because he wasn't hitting very much, and he always kind of just goofed off with the knuckleball, and it led to a fantastic career for a long time and in both leagues. But you'll never see a college pitcher or a high school pitcher throwing the knuckleball. No pitching coach is going to tell a young kid to do that, but yet it is so effective. In fact, it's so effective that there are catchers that literally I mean, I remember when Wakefield was pitching with the Red Sox, they had to go back and get Doug Mirabelli because Veritek couldn't catch him. I mean, you have to have almost like a giant board instead of a glove because he doesn't know where it's going, right?
Yeah, no, it's a real challenge. When you're throwing that thing, and you're throwing it well, it's a real challenge to catch. And, you know, the catchers, every year I get two or three oversized knuckleball mitts from Rawlings, and I pass those out to my catchers because it's just too tough with a smaller mitt. I have a guy who's caught me since 2010 who was traded with me to Toronto that is just brilliant at catching, and he's the best guy I've ever had. His name's Josh Tolley, and thankfully he's been with me for a while now. But that's not to say that other guys can't do it, but it is a challenge for any catcher when you're throwing it well. It's just, it moves so erratically.
Talking with R.A. Dickey, we'll get to his new book here in just a second, but I've heard from pitching, hitting coaches over the years, some will say when you face an R.A. Dickey, you want to move up in the box and get it before it takes that break, and then some people say, no, go the back of the box and wait for that final break. And some guys who sit on it, you can literally throw a 78 mile per hour, if I want to call it fastball, by them because they're so not expecting it. If you were hitting against yourself, what advice would you give you?
I would just try to react. I mean, that's the beauty of the pitch, is that it's such an enigma in the first place. Look, if I can't necessarily control where in the strike zone it's going, there's no real way for a hitter to be able to prepare for it. Now, these hitters are good. If you throw enough of them, you know, you're going to eventually throw one that just doesn't move very much, and they'll murder it. But the beauty and the curse of the pitch all at once is that it's very chaotic. And if I can't really control it within the strike zone, now I can throw it for strikes, but where in the strike zone, that's up to the ball and the climate and the wind against it and the way the seams react to the air. Then the hitter's not going to be able to consistently react to be able to put the barrel on the baseball, and that's what makes it effective.
Just take me back a little bit to 2012, because you're an all-star, a Cy Young, you lead the NL in strikeouts and shutouts. The Blue Jays decide that when they're rebuilding and spending all this money and making all these acquisitions, they wanted to have you. But also you get the Branch Rickey Award, which is also, I mean, that's huge. Talk about community service. I mean, what a year, R.A.
Yeah, and to be perfectly honest, there's not a baseball player on earth, or pitcher at least, that would say that they don't covet the Cy Young Award. But, to be recognized, and in turn, by you being recognized, the things that you're involved with get attention, is a real special thing for me. That particular year, I had partnered with a charity called the Bombay Teen Challenge, which is an organization that rescues women and children from sex trafficking and human slavery in India. And I went over there to see it firsthand and to try to raise the awareness of what really goes on and the evil that really has permeated kind of through our culture in that regard. And I was able to raise enough money with the climb up Kilimanjaro to open up a clinic where we treated these women and helped give them a voice in some way.
Wow, that's really amazing. All right, let's talk about your new endeavor. It's coming out today from Penguin Books, Penguin Young Readers Group, Knuckleball Ned. And I like the premise. First day of school, Ned's nervous, and the foul ball gang makes fun of him, R.A.
Yeah, you know, basically it's really a book about trying to celebrate what makes you unique. I think that was the inscription I dedicated to my children, on the first page. And, I think it's an anti-bullying message, too. But at the root, it's about identifying the things that make you special and unique and not being ashamed of those, regardless what they are, and having the courage to kind of use those to your advantage. And Ned, who starts life not really knowing who he is, eventually finds out who he is, and it's a wonderful thing.
And how has this been received so far? Like I said, it's on shelves for the public, but people who've got advanced copies, how has it been received?
Well, really the only advanced copies that I'm aware of that have been read and reported on are the advanced copies that I've read to my children, and they seem to love it. They've been the best critics so far, in the whole process. You'd be amazed at how insightful, an 8-year-old boy can be, especially when you're reading to him. And through this process, I have four kids, 12, 10, 8, and 3, and reading the book to all of them repeatedly, they would help educate me on the things that make sense to them, the things that don't, and so on and so forth. So, you know, they were my harshest critics, but I think for the most part, people will really enjoy it. The illustrations are beautiful. The message is clear, I feel like, and concise. And it should be something fun for parents to be able to teach their kids through.
All right, very well. Finally, R.A., the Jays, right now, three games under. That's such a tough division, the AL East, and there's no soft touches. I mean, you look at all the talent Tampa Bay has, and they're in last place. That's not going to last long. I mean, that's a tough road for you guys, but how do you feel about the season as you progress?
You know, I'm really optimistic, and I know that's the company line, some may say, but I think that, you know, last year at this time we had three or four guys that were hurt, and our injuries were killing us, and I wasn't very optimistic. So this year it's genuine when I say I'm really optimistic. Now, we are in a division that beats up on each other, and we're going to beat up on each other all year. If our pitching can hold up, I think that we're going to be right in there at the end. But it's been a much better year from a clubhouse standpoint. Guys have been able to really be together, not out on rehab assignments or down to Florida trying to rehabilitate. They're healthy, and we're together. And so I'm optimistic that we're going to make a push at it.
You know, a couple of years ago, I got to sit down at the Coliseum with Brett Laurie when he came over from that trade from the Brewers, and I think it's a perfect fit for him being Canadian. But that guy, I think, has a bright future and a really, really down-to-earth, nice kid, too.
Yeah, no, he is a big ball of energy. If you've met him, you know. And he plays as hard as I've ever played with a guy. And if he can stay healthy, I think he's got an incredible future ahead of him.
All right, I want to remind everybody the name of the book is Knuckleball Ned. It's nice and big. It's by R.A. Dickey with Michael Karunas, and the illustrations are by Tim Bowers, and you can pick it up through Penguin Books. Hey, R.A., great to finally have you on the show and talk to you. Best of luck with the book, and best of luck taking down the Yanks and Red Sox and company.
My pleasure. Thank you so much.
All right, I'm Rick Tittle. We'll take a quick break. Come on back.